Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. Everybody do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no plans of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Victory Monday edition of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. It is 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Billy Williford. A full house to get you back in the groove after the holiday. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Back in the groove.
Back in the groove.
All right.
Feels good. 7-5, Kress. Go ahead. Lap it up. I mean, basically.
Hold your applause to the end.
You knew exactly the way this season was going to play out.
I said 7-5. I had a gut feeling. Doubted it for a little bit there. Maybe about a month and a half or so. But then, Pruitt, Chaney, Vols. 6 out of the last 7-5 in a row down the stretch to get me to 7-5. I win the accuracy prediction rankings for 3 and Out. I win offensive and defensive MVP predictions for 3 and Out. No arguments, please. I just win those. I win. I win.
No.
Yeah, I won those. I won the preseason prediction.
No.
I think I'm still alive in NFL Eliminator.
No,
I'm not.
Out.
Who did I pick?
You're done.
You picked the
Philly
Eagles.
Philly got beat by Miami.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Dolphins.
Yeah. Never wrong.
No. No. Yeah. 7-5 though.
7-5.
That's.
I'm glad you were right about 7-5.
That's where it's at. You guys, what'd you pick?
6-6. I think.
Were you 5-7?
Did we say 6-6?
6-6.
Did we all say 6-6? None of us said 7-5. I honestly can't
remember.
You're
3 losers is what you are.
Mm.
You had no faith. I had the faith.
That's not true.
I had it. I had the faith. Kept it all season long. Never doubted him for a second.
Yes, I did.
That's not true either.
Yes, I did. I absolutely did.
You came right off a 7-5 after the... Florida game or whatever we.
Yeah, I think it was Florida. I was like, oh god, I've got to fix this. 7-5, final regular season record. Now we await the guaranteed bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go? I don't know, but it'll be fun to speculate. Tennessee dispatches Vanderbilt in a terrible game. Rain, delays, more rain, more delays. But it doesn't matter. It matters not. Took care of business. Maybe curb stomped a guy's face off. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, that's a later topic.
Bottom line, Jeremy Pruitt salvaged a season that was destined to fail.
I mean, I'm not
flip the script, something Butch Jones could never do. And here we sit. Victory Monday, 7-5. 6 out of the last 7. Could have been 7 out of the last 7 if the refs don't punk us and if JG just hands the ball off to Eric Crouch.
You never know what could happen.
You never know.
Especially when you see how they ended up.
Bunch of bums down in Bama. I think I picked that one, though, right? Did I go? What was my record
you
this
did
week?
Get that one.
I did pick Auburn, right?
Were you 3-1?
I think I might have been 3-1.
I couldn't remember the other games.
What was the one I missed?
You picked Washington State.
Y'all all picked Washington State. I got Washington. We all picked Alabama. You picked Auburn.
We all picked Minnesota, too, and that did not turn out well.
So maybe 2-2.
You and I, 2-2, might have been the best of the week.
Yeah, I was 1-3, if I even got the one win.
What were the other ones, Davey? We might have been worse.
Nate was...
What were the games?
Wazoo, Washington,
uh-huh.
Ohio State, Michigan, Bama, Auburn, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Those were the four. And all three of you missed the Tennessee pick.
Well, it was a rain game. We didn't know that.
Right. I got it right.
I bet the under.
That one doesn't count for the record.
I was 2-2. Surely I got Ohio State right.
3-out, lock of the week, Ohio State.
Yeah, it was lock of the week.
It was
easy. Right. So was Alabama and so was Minnesota.
Yeah, we didn't have a good week this week.
Alabama was not the lock of the week.
No, yeah, Houston picked Auburn.
On.
I said I'm riding the Gus bus.
That is correct. Minnesota was the other lock of the week. I apologize.
So I mean,
did you see PJ Flex
bad.
Weird like
we're like 12-4 coming in.
Weird post game. Like
13-5.
Anyone?
No, I did not.
I saw the
he gave like the most
I saw somebody say it was Butch Jones.
Yeah, that's I didn't want to quite go there, but that's probably the best way to describe it. Basically, it was the
Champions League.
We didn't do it today, but we're not going backwards. We have to remove the doubt that exists in Minnesota fans' heads. Like, we're positive. We're going forward. We're not going back to what we were last year. This is the new Minnesota. We have to let go. Let it go.
I immediately regretted.
He even said Frozen. He's like, I know Frozen 2 just came out. I got to learn the new words. But somewhere in the new one has to be let it go.
He said that?
Oh, yeah, he said it.
As soon as I saw the weather for that game, I immediately regretted that I had picked Minnesota on the show.
Weather, we messed up. We should have.
I was like, we needed a forecast. Wisconsin in that run game.
Exactly. Even though they did actually hit a really big pass play for
a more, touchdown. Yeah. I'm sorry, 3-and-out listeners. We should have had
that's
that
on
one.
Us. We didn't.
Yeah. I feel like Alabama Auburn. I don't really feel bad about that L. I mean, that game was nuts. That game could have gone either way. I mean, really, Mac Jones was just throwing touchdown passes just to both either team, just whoever caught it. Just
two pick sixes. It'll do. One was a 14-point swing. I mean, they're going in for a touchdown. Yeah. 100 yards later, that was a very weird pick six too. It's like
you,
he
man.
Threw the fade to the defensive back
on first down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play action
from the one.
It kind of gave me PTSD, you know, 100-yard returns from the goal line, but it matters not.
My roommate randomly decided to go to that game. He's just like, I think it'll be a good game. And
he was right.
Just went down there, spent $150 on a ticket. Says it's the best experience of his life.
Okay, let's take it easy. Best experience.
Football-wise, the Auburn-Alabama game, he said that was the best experience he's ever seen in person.
Is he a fan of one of those teams?
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
Then that, I don't know how that can be. I mean, I went to an LSU Florida game with a buddy. It was a good game. It could have been the most historic game of college football, and it wouldn't have been like the best experience of my life because I don't care about either one of those teams.
Yeah,
but
seems...
whatever. But okay. Maybe, I don't know.
They stormed the field.
Maybe he's got different.
Some girls got stuck in the bushes.
You don't
that
get
was
this.
Funny.
It's not something that happens every day.
That might still be in.
That
there.
Was a great game. I'm not disputing that. Yeah. I just don't understand the.
No, just 4 times since 2004. Now they owe $250,000 for storming the field. Hmm.
That's nothing.
They've stormed it 3 times.
Yeah, but think of all the money
Alabama.
They're saving not having to fire Gus Malzahn now.
Yeah. Mac Jones threw 6 touchdowns. Just the problem was
four to Alabama, two to Auburn. It's efficient, though. Just putting points on the board.
So really, Bama
making it interesting.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not going to. I feel bad about Wisconsin, Minnesota. That game wasn't close. That was a beatdown.
Weather. We weren't prepared. We didn't have a good weather update.
Did you see
update.
How they shovel out the stadium before the game?
No.
They have like these big, you know how the old laundry chute, you know, Home Alone style?
Yeah.
They have these big, kind of like big slides there, and they go all the way up to the top of the stadium. All the and people are have to dig the snow out of the seats and the place you put your feet, dump them onto those chutes. They go all the way down in these dump trucks, and then they have to haul it all out. It's like a whole thing. It's crazy.
All right.
I was very thankful over the weekend to not live up north.
Well, it definitely rained here Saturday a lot.
I didn't mind it. Better.
Were you at the game?
No.
Then
why
shut
would
up.
I go to the game?
Then shut up. Why would you? It's a senior day. Because I support these boys. That's why. They announced the seniors through a makeshift tee that they ran through, and then immediately, please seek shelter. I was like, oh God.
At least they ran through the tee this year. We shamed them for that last year, and it worked.
It was weird. They ran
Big
through it, but Pruitt
listeners.
Wasn't out there like they to did. Greet them. It was just them kind of wandering through. Again, the band didn't do the pregame because of the wet field, so they just formed the tee, walked through it, and then they ran back to the locker room because there was a delay. It was strange. It was just a weird, weird game.
We've had some weird rain delay stuff late in the year.
I did recently. Have maybe the most Crestradamus moment of all time during the game, though.
Of all time?
Yeah. We got that, they pinned us deep on the 6-yard line.
Yeah.
And I looked around at the people I was sitting there. It's like, you know, it's funny. We always seem to bust a 90-plus yarder in the rain. That handoff. Boom. 94 yards. Touchdown. I feel like a pretty big genius. Mm. Coker did it against Marshall, maybe? Is that something?
I don't remember.
It just seems like when it rains, we somehow bust a long run. Like, when everyone knows you're going to try to run it, that's when Tennessee's able to bust a very long run. It felt,
everybody
it felt
gets
good.
Closer to the line of scrimmage, and if you hit
Boy,
it, you
Vanderbilt
hit it.
Sure was. They were, like, 11 in the box. I was just like, man, if we can just make one guy miss, this guy's going to the house.
Boom.
Made a guy miss, house. Big day, obviously, for freshman running back Eric Gray. 246 yards.
That sounds right. Yep.
First time since 2005 that a Tennessee running back's rushed for over 200 yards.
Indeed. I believe it's an SEC freshman record. It's obviously a Tennessee freshman record. Not the all-time record. He needed like 50 more yards. 48 more yards. I thought he might get it, honestly, the way he was popping those runs. What was his? He had a 60-something and a 90-something? I'd say you're doing all right.
He only averaged 9.8 yards a carry.
Is that it? On 25 carries.
246, 3 touchdowns.
Long, 94.
I feel like his last 3 carries went for like 2 yards or less, so if you throw those out.
He was on a heater.
He was definitely on a heater. He was just the perfect running back. He had a little bit of wiggle at the line of scrimmage. He could make one guy miss, and then just enough speed to run away from Vandy. I still don't know that he has elite running back speed in the SEC, but when you play Vanderbilt, that's elite speed.
I'd say he has good speed.
And better lateral jukes.
Yes. The wiggle.
The wiggle.
The juice.
Wobble, wiggle, whatever we want to call it. The jukes. That's what Dooley said CP had, the jukes. Speaking of Dooley, RIP, Barry Odom out.
We have so much to talk about this week.
I know.
It's going to be incredible.
I felt maybe a nod to Dooley because I said the jukes.
Oh.
Barry Odom out at Missouri, and probably the most surprising firing of the weekend, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
By far. As far as just,
They were like,
they, what?
Did you happen to see the end
win.
Of the Missouri?
They're both eligible, kind of.
Arkansas game, like, Barry Odom and Derek Dooley, they were like hugging, and because they kind of just grinded one out
just
without
felt,
Kelly
felt like
Bryant.
They had salvaged the season.
They had gotten through this. Yeah.
Not so fast. It just feels weird that they would do that with, you know, they're not going to get the $9 to $11 million in bowl money. The whole season was a wash. You couldn't go to a bowl game, and they get to 6-6, and you still fire the guy.
I like it. I was shocked.
You like what? That they made the move?
Yeah.
Who is going to Missouri right now? They can't pay anybody.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You don't think the who you going to get question matters?
Barry Odom wasn't it. So,
well, yeah, we knew that.
Is they might as well roll the dice with someone
else. We knew
he
wasn't it the moment he was hired. But if you're Missouri and you're going to hire him like that in the first place, then it's weird to roll him when you did.
I'm just saying.
This was kind of an in-between season anyway.
I like
Drew
Locke AD,
in the NFL proved he was halfway decent yesterday.
I like that their AD went, yep, this guy can't coach. So we're just making, we're going to try someone else.
Maggie tweets in and says that Pruitt was at the end of the tee with the players' families. Yeah. So you know how Fulmer stood at like the 5-yard line and he got a big hug when they came out? Apparently Pruitt was over here. I didn't see him. You know, my angle was bad, I suppose.
What did you think about Garantano's 6 of 17 line?
I thought it was rainy.
Yeah, it was.
And that was an issue. And we ran some really dumb routes for being in the rain.
Okay.
Deep comebacks, opposite side of the field. Like typically in rain games, I want my receiver to keep moving so that the defensive back never has a bead on what's happening.
Not really have to plant and risk falling down, throwing a pick type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like my receiver to stop and turn around because then the defensive back can make a play. But if you just keep running them and the defensive back has no idea where they're going on a wet field, you have the advantage. We finally started to do that late, but we had such a lead that I think they were just done with throwing the football.
Yeah.
I believe Garantano started 0 for 7.
It was rough.
With a pick.
And then was 6 for 10 the rest of the way. It's not terrible.
Yeah, I think the first three completions were all to Dom. He had three catches for, I don't know what it was, pretty decent little stat line, and then he got the touchdown.
I mean, I know Vanderbilt's offense is horrendous, but it is nice. I feel like, for all the offensive ups and downs this year, I just feel nice to get to the end of the regular season and have a game where you felt like the defense was just going to lock up the other team. So you didn't have to really stress about moving the football and scoring like every time you touched it. Because that's how it's felt like the last few years when we got late in the season against like Missouri and Vandy. It feels like we couldn't stop the run at all for like,
yeah,
especially against Missouri. It feels like they were getting 7 yards a pop the last few years anytime they won it and going down to score. And so there was so much pressure on the offense. Like, God, we got to score, got to score, got to score. In this game, I was like, yeah, okay,
yeah, if there
just
had been,
wear them down.
I feel like if there had been pressure on the offense to score in this one, it would have been a troubling game. But we could just kind of score at our own pace.
I mean, yeah, it was frustrating. The passing game was flat early, but
It was also pouring rain.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, it didn't give me anxiety like it was in other games.
A lot of people were like, oh, Garantano's
back. He's
back. Yeah, I was like, okay, guys, it's literally dumping rain. It's cold. He has one good hand. Forgive me if I don't jump off the Henley because Garantano didn't shred Vanderbilt amidst a monsoon. When was the last time we had a quarterback just murder people in the rain? Has it ever happened?
Casey Clawson.
No. He murdered Tennessee fans, dropping the snap 12 times against Florida in 0-2. Maybe that's it. That's the game. It was Rex Grossman on the other side throwing for like a, I don't know, 350 in a downpour. I blamed the Wilson ball that day. The Nike ball was grippier. Maybe they changed it, though, because he didn't have any grip on it on Saturday. Neither did Vanderbilt. But then when the rain stopped, Vanderbilt tried to pass a little bit more, had success, and I think we just had a big enough lead. We were content to run three times and punt.
Including the Alabama game. So the last seven games, starting with Mississippi State, Tennessee's defense has only given up 16.5 points per game.
They've been killing it.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, Alabama's given up like a bajillion points to ranked teams. Think they missed the guy? I think they might. I think they might. I think Alabama misses Jeremy Pruitt. Big time.
I'm completely blanking. Who's our defense coordinator right now?
Don't know.
Alabama.
He won't be it for long because they're going to fire anybody. Or everybody's just going to leave.
It's going to be another situation where Nick Saban looks around the office and no one's left. Dan!
No, he's going to fire everybody because he's furious.
I think they're gone. I'd say the special teams guy is special teams guy and defensive coordinator. They were not on the same page when Gus Malzahn.
Pete Golding.
Huh. No wonder. I never even knew that
Who?
Was the guy.
Well, his Wikipedia page has been updated to say Pete Golding is an American football coach who was an awful and pathetic excuse of a defensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
So things are good.
There you go.
In Tuscaloosa. Things are going just fantastic this morning. That's good. That's
His
good.
Other stops include Southern Miss, UT San Antonio, Delta State.
Delta State.
Southern.
That sounds
South,
like made up for a movie.
Southeastern Louisiana.
That's flight school, I think. That's where the pilots go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not a...
Sully. That's where Sully went to learn how to land that plane in the Hudson.
Only 35, but so far not 30, a good career.
35? Hiring kids. What do you expect, Saban? Boy, he lost his mind before the half. That was fantastic
to
see.
Nick Saban's, and then his Achilles heel, special teams, cost him the game. Not just the fact that he doesn't have a guy that can make a 30-yard field goal. 30. But they couldn't line up right.
That one, I think, is more on Gus Malzahn than it is on Nick Saban. Like, that's just a, like, you know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to wait and sub based on your personnel. You trot the punter out there, so they send the punt team, but you've lined him up at receiver to cause some confusion. It worked. That's not... Saban was trying to blame the ref, saying that was confusing and we should have had more time. Nothing was confusing about it except you got confused and punked.
Yeah.
Like, Gus Malzahn was in complete control. Yeah. They trotted the punter out there because they knew that was the one player you would look at to determine your personnel, and they lined him up at receiver to trick you. You got tricked. You tried to sub late. Boom. Too many men on the field. Get out of
here. In Nick Saban's defense, he's used to the referees blowing the play dead in that situation while
the minute it's a trick play at all.
Figure
yeah.
out what's going on.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it in this game.
That's a good point. He's like, wait, we've been getting the special treatment all year. Why did we not get it this time?
Shout out Larry Porter, Auburn's special teams coach.
Only
Wicked Smat.
Only Gus Malzahn has that package in the playbook where it's like it's a personnel grouping where it's like the offense but the punter. So that you can punt or hand the ball off. Or you know they have that in the playbook for other situations where it's like fourth and one and they can do that.
I mean, you knew they weren't going to punt. You had your quarterback as like your main pass protector or punt protector in that situation.
No, I'd tell you exactly what they were going to do. They're going to line up in that offensive formation, see what Alabama did. Then they're going to trot the punter back there. You could see them start to do that even as they threw the flag. The punter was going to trot back there like he was going to punt. Bo Nix was going to get ready like they were going to punt. And he was going to start yelling stuff because it's fourth and four and trying to get him to jump off sides. But they didn't have to. That was phase two of the plan.
Didn't have to go
that
far.
Didn't have to get there because Alabama sent Waddle out on the field, sent their punt return team out on the field, and then went, oh no, Bo Nix is in the game. Sub. Has coaches not learned? Like, I mean, that seems to burn everybody when you start. When you tell one unit to run on quickly and get the other unit off,
that's how Tennessee has gotten their 12 men on the field, seemingly every time.
Just leave the guys out there and just tell them, do the best you can. I don't know.
But no, but it works when it works. It works really well because then you're in the perfect defensive formation. But occasionally, when you can't sub in time, you get caught. The problem with this one specifically was it was at a time when you could not get caught.
Actually, they would have been fine if Waddle just ran off the field. Their sub was fine.
Did they have timeouts? Why didn't they just call them?
They didn't have a timeout.
They didn't? They were out. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They had to take them all to get the ball back.
That's right.
But if Waddle runs off the field when the defense runs on the field, they'd have been fine.
You hate to see it. Delta State's mascot, according to Nathan Doug Janeway, is the Fighting Okra.
Yes. That's something.
Okra.
A vegetable. Are there any other vegetable mascots? No.
I'll think about it. Carrots.
Corn Huskers, sort of?
No, that's a person that husks the corn.
I know, but it's at least in the name.
No.
Getting close.
Yeah.
I mean, there wouldn't even be anything.
That was where my mind went first. I was like, no, the husker's the dude that husks it.
Husk the corn.
I don't think there's another okra, another vegetable out there.
No.
Beans, peas.
Billy Williver just showed
He doesn't
us
look like
picture.
He's ready to fight. He looks like he's getting ready to be dropped into a pot of gumbo.
Yeah.
He looks very sad, very disappointed. I'm going to be delicious in here, but oh no. Fry me, please.
What a weekend. College football, the NFL, tons to get into. College basketball, Tennessee, 1-1 at the Emerald Coast Classic. Ended on a positive.
Boy, that
big
first
buzzer
thing,
beater.
Though. Yikes.
We'll break it all down for you. It is a Monday edition.
7-5.
3-and-out.
Spend my dollar.
Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some Truly Hard Seltzer.
This is our song now, boys.
Grocery or convenience store. All the flavors, they got them for you. It's Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want, only 100 calories. And deliciously refreshing. You hate to see it for Nick Saban in Alabama.
Nope, I don't. I don't hate it.
Are you?
I love it.
Is the only downside that if the SEC doesn't get two teams into the playoff, that it might hurt Tennessee's bowl location?
No.
Doesn't matter. It's we'll not just a bad take thing. It. Who cares?
We're going bowling. I really don't care who we play.
Okay. You don't care where? For our great
no,
fans, I want to
probably
travel.
Not. Probably not.
Like, I don't end up in Nashville. That's what Jerry Palm.
You do
has.
Or don't?
I don't. I want our boys to go south, somewhere warm. But I don't know. I guess you're right. I guess it doesn't matter. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's get Philly's thoughts. Philly, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
It was a nice weekend, wasn't it?
It was a nice weekend.
I mean, beating cotton candy, and we split out there in the down there on the Gulf Coast, so that's a good weekend.
Yeah, hey, based on how you played against Florida State to only lose by three and then come back and beat VCU, I'll take it. I'll take 1-1 out of the Emerald Coast Classic, especially the team the team you lost to winning the whole thing. I'll take that.
The football team makes you wonder, is Eric Gray that good or just that's one game fluke?
I don't think it's a fluke. I think he was kind of the perfect running back for what Vanderbilt was doing defensively. Their defense, not as good as they have been recently. They lack top-end speed at safety and corner, and he had just enough to pull away from people. I think it was his wiggle at the line of scrimmage that helped pop a couple of plays. And to give credit, like, the offensive line was absolutely mowing people over at times.
Yeah, they did block well, didn't they?
Yeah, I think Ty Chandler would have had a big game. This was just kind of a game you needed one of those smaller, faster running backs who could squirt out of, you know, the mass of people at the line of scrimmage and then pop a big one. Tim Jordan, he's kind of the hammer, and then you had a little shift guy come in, kind of the scat back type, and Eric Gray was the perfect defense for him to be going up against in the rain, where his lateral movement and kind of shifting speed, shifting direction, you know, you can really take advantage of defenders like that, and I think it was just the perfect game for him. I do think he's a very good running back. I'm not going to crown him the next Jamal Lewis because of what he did against Vanderbilt in the rain.
Well, it's encouraging if he could, just get half that every game next year.
It would be very, very good, yeah. Yeah, I'd take half of this and head to the house just about every game.
I mean, he's hard. He is hard to tackle. Like, we can all agree with that. Now, how good he's going to be against really good teams, who knows? His issues have been more pass protection and stuff like that, not necessarily with the football in his hand.
Well, speaking of pass protection, I saw enough Saturday that I don't want number two behind center next year.
That did it for you, huh?
Yeah.
Even though it was pouring down rain, Philly?
Well, it don't matter if it's pouring down rain or not. I mean, the guys, you know, our ceiling is 7-5 with him a quarterback. You don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
All right.
Is that where we want to go next year? 6-6, 7-5?
No.
7-5 next year is probably better than 7-5 this year, honestly. The schedule's a little tougher next year.
I do agree with that. And, you look at it, Oklahoma, well, really you're starting the season off with, what, four losses you know you're going to probably lose to?
Yeah, on paper you're thinking four losses. I still think there's a chance maybe you could get one of Florida or Georgia. But right now I don't think, I don't know, maybe Bama's on the way down too. I don't know who they're going to be at quarterback next year. But yeah, it seems like four. Like, you know, conservatively you say, yeah, four to start the season.
I mean, you get Arkansas, it's a great year for your West slate.
Yeah, we've been dominating West teams lately anyway. It doesn't matter who we get. Bring LSU on. They're not going to have Burrow, I take them.
Whoever thought that after we beat Auburn last year that Gus Malzahn would still be coaching at Auburn?
No.
Yeah.
Would not have guessed it.
And now Saban, his lack of coaching in the kicking game, and maybe Pruitt not being at Alabama, you can see it in their back, their secondary, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah, their defense, I know they've been missing middle linebackers all year, but their defense against top 20 opponents has been abysmal lately. I have to think Jeremy Pruitt and Kirby Smart not being there, they just, they're not who they once were on defense, and that's why I think they made the shift to kind of focus on offense. But you're right. I read the stat. It was something crazy. Like, since Nick Saban has been at Alabama, they've missed 132 field goals or something. It's like
really?
it's like the most ridiculous number you could possibly imagine. I think it's 12 seasons, and basically they're missing 10 kicks a year.
Well, you figure the way they recruit, they get the best kicker ever country. That don't make no sense to me.
They do. They do.
Their kickers are not that good when they get them there.
I think they don't know how to – I don't know if it's a pressure thing, because kickers are a little bit different, right? I mean, everyone makes the joke, kickers are head cases, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't think Saban put his kickers on scholarship.
Well, that might be part of it. I think he started to, because he was like, oh, man, we're really messing this up. We probably should get these guys on scholarship. I don't know if it's like the...
They never face pressure until they do, and then they can't make it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we're up by 50. Of course I can go out there and miss this. It doesn't matter. But then when you have to make it, you just can't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know. Hang on, Phil. Let me back up. And then the next year's schedule, it's weird. Next year's schedule is harder. But when you compare it to this past year, when you lost to BYU anyway, it doesn't matter. Like, in terms of wins and losses, like, you lost games you should have won this past year. So you really should be as good or better next year anyway, in terms of the overall record.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, Phil, there's only four that you're like, yeah, probably going to lose four.
I understand there were only, three guarantees coming into this
season. We'll play Georgia in November next year?
Yep. They got switched with the Missouri game. Yep. Which actually might benefit us
great.
Next year playing
Missouri's
this.
Missouri's got a new coach.
Yeah, new coach, new quarterback. That's going to be a brand new Missouri team.
I have the stat Houston was alluding to. It's since Nick Saban's first season at Alabama in 2007, Alabama kickers have now missed 101 field goals, the most by any FBS team in that span.
101.
That's eight more than any other team. Joseph, is it Bulavos?
Bulavos, yeah.
Bulavos is the only SEC kicker to miss multiple field goals from 30 yards or closer this season.
Yo.
Wow.
They're cursed.
Yeah, that is. But, one more thing, guys. Juwan Jennings, he goes down to my Hall of Fame of players. I don't care what he did to that kid at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's been cheap shotting us for years. I'm glad to give a cheap shot on them. I'm tired of losing to them and let them lick it and like it. You know what I mean?
Thanks
for
Philly.
The call, Philly. At least Philly admits it's a cheap shot. The only thing that annoyed me is Tennessee fans trying to say it was fine.
I don't know about fine. I still don't know that it was intentional.
No. I'm not even talking about the step. It was when he laid on top of him and gave him the business and ended up with his dude's helmet off.
That was a little over.
Like that somebody was like, I don't know, it was intentional, Nate. I was like, was the right hook he gave him when they're on the ground intentional? Because that was more.
Did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I was just like, how do you think the guy's helmet came off?
We can't talk about this. This makes us part of the problem, and the Blue Bloods, their media wouldn't undermine the fan base and hurt the university by talking about this.
Is that what Bear said?
No, but it's what a lot of the fans said. They don't think we should talk about it because it just hurts the university.
Oh, come on.
That's what their argument is.
Well, it's a bad argument.
Trust me.
So talking about it is...
Oh, God. My mentions were full during voluntary reaction.
Yeah, people don't understand that what happens is the fault of who does it.
Oh.
Now, this goes back to why Tennessee's been bad for the last decade. It's because we actually talk about these things when they happen.
It's our fault. It's our fault. Tennessee
I don't think it works that way. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yep, pretty sure.
The smooth brains are really, really buying that point.
See, Philly's point was a good one. That's what a smart person says. It was a cheap shot, and I don't care. Like, that's fine. If you want that take, that's fine.
Cheap until they landed. Then it got a little cheap. But I still am not convinced he stepped on the guy's head intentionally.
I feel
like if you're going to step on a guy's head intentionally, you're going to get your money's worth, and it felt like he was getting up, looking the other way. He's also getting pushed and pulled by people behind him with his head turned. And his it wasn't like he's like stood on the guy's head. Like, he didn't Ndamukong Suh it. Like, if anything, the cleat kind of
it was more like Ndamukong Suh when he backed up and stepped on Rogers.
See, I disagree, because he just, like, put all of the weight there and, like, even lifted up to make sure he had, you know, all 300 pounds on the calf.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, and I don't really care. I don't have to have an opinion on whether I think I don't have to try and guess at what was going on in Juwan Jennings' mind in that moment.
That was my point, because people were saying, oh, is the SEC going to step in? And I get that fear. I totally get it. But based on what happened, you have to create the intent there. You have to manufacture it, because it's not readily evident if you just watch the film that, yes, he intentionally tried to step on that guy's face.
But in my mind, what he did was still wrong. As Philly said, it was still a cheap shot to drive him all the way into the bench and then kind of punch him while he was on the ground.
They slid. It was wet. It was like a slip and slide. They had that thing. They had the
like, he gave him the business. It was obvious. Like, he snapped. I don't know. Somebody even said after
he snapped.
Somebody said after the game he didn't even remember the play.
Well, selective memory.
So I don't like.
Well, maybe he was concussed.
That was why people were coming to me. I was like, my tweet in the moment. My first thought was, I love Juwan Jennings, but what just happened? Like, I was just confused. I was what? I mean,
we left to be perfectly clear. We left at the second delay, because I was like, I saw the radar. Yeah. And I was like, this game might not pick back up until midnight.
Yeah.
So we left watching in the car on the stream, and then the audio cuts out as soon as that play starts.
Right.
So they keep showing the replay, and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm looking at here. And then later see it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it sounded like the audio stopped as soon as both those players hit that big black box on the sideline.
Oh, maybe that's
like
what
he
it was.
Broke the audio with that play.
Smart. Try to knock the evidence off.
It was just
if
weird
those mics
to me,
could have picked up what he was saying, oh, Lord. And then we would have known if there was intent or not.
We'll come back. Final
Wicked
segment.
Smart.
Hour one. I guess we'll chew on this a little more. We'll get to your phone calls. 865-546-8200. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment brought to you of Hour 1, brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online, tvacreditunion.com, and become a member. They help their members grow financially, moving upward and forward with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who we got on, Davey?
Bear.
Bear! Final segment, Hour 1. What's up, Bear?
Nate, I'm going to give you a chance to walk back your last statement.
I was just about to say, Bear has asked that you walk that back.
Walk, Bear.
Yes, sir.
Walk it back. Let's walk it back.
What's walk that? It back, man.
We're 7-5, man. It's Optimism Monday, but you've got to walk it back.
I said I don't know whether he stepped on his head on purpose or not. I could see him do it, just turning and not being, you know, intentional. I could also see it, him kind of knowing it's there and just stepping and not really caring, because we know he hates Vanderbilt. I hate Vanderbilt. I get that. It was the wrong play. Switch the jerseys, Bear. You would be livid. You'd be ready to fight somebody. Hell,
I would say that Juwan should have gotten out of bounds. That kid wasn't out of bounds. There was nothing. Philly's got to, you know, Philly, if you listen to Voluntary Reaction, which I suggest you go back and listen to the podcast, Billy was drunk as a skunk Saturday. I'm surprised he can even remember the damn play.
No one is arguing the tackle. The tackle was fine.
Yeah,
he stayed on him.
Under the bench.
He stayed on him and gave him the business. He gave him a right hook when he was on top of him, Bear.
I don't know. I caught a right hook.
Slip and slide. You don't know what that guy did to Juwan when they were riding the slip and slide over to the fence. All I know is when Juwan got up, I've seen still shots of the video. His chin strap, his whole helmet's mashed up. It's covering his eyes, man. He didn't mean to step on that guy.
I didn't say he did.
I mean, for you and Russell and Davey and Houston's, you know, he's waiting to, you know, scurry out of the dark corner and join you guys and you know,
what the hell?
Houston
down
immediately
on
took
a,
up
a
for Juwan.
Legend.
You walk that back. Don't lump me in with this crew.
You over there with me, Houston?
You know I am.
Bear, we have built this entire station on telling people what we actually think. I'm not about to just change it and sheep it up because Juwan Jennings is the one player that had the stones to call all the crap that went down over there crap. I love the guy. That was my take. My take was, I love the guy, but I'm not sure what just happened. How is that bad, Bear? How is that bad?
I know what happened.
Because it's the dog, man. Yep. Can I get a real reason?
Don't worship coaches. Don't worship players.
Dog's one of us.
I'm just saying. I thought it was a cheap shot.
I think you can worship him.
You can?
I feel like you ought to reach out and offer him a job after he gets done with school.
That'd
over
be good.
There.
He might be great on the radio.
Well, maybe podcast. Can I get half only?
Yeah, that's true.
This isn't even the reason I called. Blew up about that. All right. We've got a situation.
Uh-oh.
It has been brought to light that two members of FanRun colluded in the station league to defraud the rest of the league.
Oh, no.
In fantasy football.
This is why I didn't play in it.
Billy and Cody.
Cody and Billy. People are refusing to pay. I've already paid my entry fee. Can you make sure that I get my money refunded?
What are you talking about, Bear? Wow. I came on here the day after the trade and told Nate the trade, and he said,
Billy, got screwed. Billy, if I want your opinion, I'll tell you what it is. Nate.
Flush him.
Here's what happened.
Hang on, I got to hear
Here's
this.
What happened. It was pushed through without the 48-hour waiting period to give the rest of the league a chance to vote to veto it.
Oh. How's that my fault?
That's a bad look for three and out, Billy Williford. And, I mean, God
what?
Knows
I'm not the commissioner. Care. Who's the commissioner of the league, Bear?
John.
Hang on. I want Bear. This is like a trial, Davey. I want Bear to answer.
He knows the answer.
I knew the answer. I'm like a good attorney. I knew who the commissioner was.
Well, it's going to be a thing. I've already.
What was the trade, Bear? What was the trade?
It was like every good player. And look, get Billy to show you his team and everybody that scores over 30 points every week.
I can tell you. I can tell you the trade right now.
What was the trade, Billy?
I got Allen Robinson.
Okay.
Travis Kelce.
Okay.
And Melvin Gordon.
All right.
I gave up Chris Godwin.
Uh-huh.
Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
And Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, Bear, he's out of here. Bear, come on. Oh, come on. Oh. In fantasy football, unless you can prove they cheated, trades are good. Vetoing a trade because one team gets too good is absurd. That's fantasy football.
Maybe it was just good foresight by Billy.
I needed a tight end, so I gave up a lot to get
the
best
tight
end in the league.
There's nothing crazy about that. Especially at that time. It's not like, I mean, Melvin Gordon has issues. Aaron Jones was tearing it up back then.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't looked at his stats lately. He's not on any of my teams, but that's.
Haters gonna hate.
He went after both of you guys.
I would like for the money to still be put up by everybody in the league.
I would too.
Are people not paying? Why aren't they paying?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they're not, but I mean, Bear said he's wanting his money back.
Oh. How much money was?
It's 20 a person.
Okay.
10-person league.
I've
won 7 straight.
So you obviously won't.
Last couple
pay
of
up.
Weeks, I've been scoring 20 points more than anybody else in the league.
Okay.
I'd kind of, hope this continues. Playoffs start next week. I would like that money. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, you haven't won it yet.
That's true. I mean, I could have a downfall, but right now I think I got the hottest team in the league.
How many teams are in the league?
10. 10. 4 make the playoffs.
4 make the playoffs.
2 weeks for each round.
Only 4?
Was Bear close to the playoffs? Is Bear like 5th or something?
I think he's closer.
Like first.
You're first and he's complaining?
Yeah, I was already on a winning streak before I made the trade. I lost the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean,
and won like 7 straight.
Houston, are you thinking that 4 is too few?
Yeah,
I mean, if it's 5 and 5 in each division, 2 teams from each division make the playoffs.
Yeah, it seems like it would be 6.
I understand you're in 6 right now, but
no, I just always thought it was like half the league or plus 1 if it's an even number.
Hmm.
That's fine. I mean, it's not over yet. I don't think.
No, I think you still got a chance.
Yeah.
I don't know what the tiebreaker situation is.
What place is Bear in?
Probably dead last.
No, Cody's in dead last.
Yeah, I'm whooping Cody's ass this week.
Yeah, Cody was mad. He came at me week 1 because the analytics showed that Cody was supposed to finish in first, and I was supposed to finish in last. But now those are kind of, those roles have been switched for the most part.
I feel like there's a lot to talk about that doesn't need to involve our fantasy teams.
I agree. Okay. I agree. Let's reset.
Yeah, let's do that.
We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number two. Tons of stuff from the weekend to get into. College football. We haven't talked about the basketball team much. They played the Emerald Coast Classic. We got to get to that. I mean, just tons and tons of stuff. Stick with us right here. Hour two kicks off next on 3 and Out.